This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
I get to report to you a surprising drop in unemployment and a welcome increase in hiring. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. The U.S. unemployment rate unexpectedly dropped from nearly 15% in April to 13.3% in May. This covers a month that forecasters were expecting a jobless rate as high as 20%. A parallel survey of payrolls shows a surprising amount of hiring, with 2.5 million people added back to payrolls. Experts say some of this is noise in the system, with data gathering occurring during a pandemic, but not all of it. And the stock market is surging on this news today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at the moment is up 745 points, 2.8%. The S&P 500 is up 2.2%. The NASDAQ Composite is up 1.7%. Crude oil is also up nearly 4%.
We were expecting 7.5 million job losses in May. We got 2.5 million gains. Couldn't be better.
Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York.
Hospitality, restaurants, construction, those were some of the biggest gains. But there are still industries in trouble. The mining sector stands out. The collapse in oil prices in April and May resulted in another 20,000 layoffs there. The one that caught my eye, and frankly my biggest worry, not just this month but going forward, is 571 state and local workers cut. It reflects the devastating fiscal position of municipalities right now.
Cities and states normally employ more than 12.5% of the entire U.S. workforce. President Trump is due to speak about today's jobs report in a couple minutes. And economic divides by race are apparent in today's numbers. While the unemployment rate dropped overall, as we say, the rate for black people ticked slightly higher to 16.8% versus 12.4% for white people. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman goes deeper.
Historically, through good times and bad, black workers have suffered higher unemployment than white workers, typically about twice as high. And layoffs in the pandemic have hit hard in service occupations where black workers are heavily represented: hospitality, food service, healthcare, and retail. Meanwhile, according to the Labor Department, only 20% of black employees have jobs that allow them to work from home, compared to 30% of white employees. Valerie Wilson at the Economic Policy Institute says these are most likely professional office-type jobs.
Given occupational segregation, African Americans are less likely to be in those higher paid occupations. That in large part accounts for the disparity in the share of African American workers able to work remotely during this time.
And she says black households are more likely to have just a single wage earner to depend on.
When you lose your job, all of the resources available to that household go. I mean, it's unlikely anyone who loses a job now will be able to quickly find another one.
Meanwhile, African-American households went into this crisis with less to fall back on. Economist Gary Hoover at the University of Oklahoma estimates the median wealth of white households is 5 times or more higher than that of black households. And after the Great Recession,
whites recovered faster, were able then to increase assets and savings that in the current crisis will help them fare much better. Blacks being in that precarious spot with much lower wealth are going to have a difficult time if this pandemic goes on much longer.
According to the Economic Policy Institute, black workers earn about 20% less per hour than white workers, whether they have a high school diploma, a BA, or an advanced degree. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
A liberal think tank has been issuing monthly calculations on the wealth of America's billionaires during the pandemic to underscore stark economic inequality. While there's individual variation, collectively billionaires have increased their net worth by more than $500 billion since shelter-in-place orders began in mid-March, an increase of $565 million, according to the Institute for Policy Studies. The rising stock market in April and May is a big part of this.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
When can we get sports back safely at a time of virus? Big League Basketball has just come up with a plan. The NBA season will start on the last day of July with billions of dollars at stake. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here. What's the plan?
Well, they're going to play games in a bubble, quarantining everyone involved in Florida with regular testing, and they'll play all the games at the ESPN Wide World of Sports complex at Disney World near Orlando. No fans in attendance. The games will be played for television only and will go into October. They're still figuring out what they'll do if someone tests positive for the coronavirus.
And the NBA suspended play March 11th. It was the first professional sports league to do so. What about the costs of this?
Well, the players have agreed to a 25% pay cut with provisions for clawing some of that money back later. The league is losing billions of dollars in revenue. Just to give you an idea, David, the NBA's TV contract is worth $24 billion, and it reportedly makes 40% of its revenues from fans showing up in arenas. That's billions of dollars. That's not coming back anytime soon.
And I got to ask, I mean, where are we with baseball? I tend to be a frenetic person who will only sit down in the summer if there's a Red Sox game on, so I've not been sitting down.
And you're going to be standing for a while, David. Baseball isn't there yet. The players and owners can't come to terms. They've been talking for 4 weeks. Tom Ricketts, owner of the Chicago Cubs, went on ESPN Tuesday and said the scale of the losses is biblical. That's his word, biblical. Last season, Major League Baseball brought in almost $11 billion, according to Forbes. Ricketts says currently they're bringing in $0. So both sides want to come back. The players want a longer schedule. Owners want a shortened one. At one point, there was talk of starting in July, but so far, no deal.
All right, Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you. With unemployment improving, the Dow is up 673 points. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.